the gate, you never know.
I'll put on the first sheet.
This comment is fake news, I tell you. Fake news. First part of the two-part series of Amos and Andy. Okay. No, tonight's Monday. Tonight's Monday night.
Huh?
Tonight's Monday night.
Right. And so tomorrow night is Titus talks, and Wednesday night is the
Yeshiva. Nice. Okay.
I straightened it
out. I'm glad we have you.
Yeah.
If Marcia, without you, I'd have no idea what Shir Shalyom to say. All right. We are here to discuss this evening the topic of Amos. Amos is once again one of the Treyasar, one of the 12 prophets. And we'll just do this evening a basic overview so we have an idea. I'd like to spend most of the evening discussing the first pasuk, because the first pasuk teaches us whatever it is we really know about Amos. And once we have that background, we could go step by step to get a general idea. We start by saying, yes. We asked, Marsha, you got to wait. You got to give me a minute here. We got to do some base. I have hardly a thing said. So, it says, "Divrei Amos Shehaya bin Nogdim mitakoa Asher Chazay Sol b'mei Uziyah Melch Yehuda b'mei Yeravam ben Yoash Melch Yisrael Shnatayim lifnei Harash." So, what information did we get from this opening verse? One is we learn his name Amos, but that's it. I don't learn his father's name, right? Unlike last week, Hoshea ben Be'eri and the like, right? We don't really get any information as to what family came from. Next, it says, Hayah bin Nokdim. The word Nokdim means that he worked in cattle. Mitakoa, from the city of Tekoa, in cattle. You know, lived up in Wyoming, Cheyenne. Mm-hmm. And he, in fact, was a Navi during the time of Uziyah, the king of Yehuda, and Yeravam ben Yoash, the king of Yisrael. And that was 2 years before the earthquake. That's all the information we have about him. If you take a look at the number two is a source that we've seen pretty much every week. This is the third week in a row we're looking towards it. And it talks about the fact that there was an overlap between four of the prophets. Three of the four that were overlapped happened to be in Treyasar. And then this is why we're doing Amos now as the third. It says, "Devar Hashem asher haya el Hoshea b'yimei Uziyahu Yotam achad Yechizkiyahu melech Yehuda." It says, "Beperch achad nisnabu arba neviim." There were four prophets that were actually prophesizing at the same time. The Gadol shebekulan Hoshea. Hoshea was the greatest of them. When we discussed last week, does that mean he was the greatest or he was the first of them? So then it says, afterwards, who are they? Last word, Elohim, Hoshea, Yeshaya, Amos, and Micha. These are the four Nevi'im in question. Now, if you remember, over the last few weeks, we spoke about the fact that Hoshea was the king during the, looking at the chart that you have under number three, Hoshea is the king is Hoshea's a Navi during all four kings that we are talking about. Uzziah, Yotam, Ahaz, and Yechizkiyahu. Now, last time we discussed that there's a disagreement as to how many years he was a Navi for. If I assume he started at the beginning of Uzziah and went till the end of Chizkiyahu, right, we said that adds up to well over 100 years. And he wasn't born giving Nevuah. So therefore, we said you have to assume that he probably started later in the time of Uzziah. That was our assumption. Now, there was an opinion out there that he prophesied for 90 years. And he started at the beginning of Uzziah. And we said that was, you know, a difficult opinion to accept. Now, when we talk about Amos, not only do we find out who the Melech in Yehuda is, in this case, Uzziah, the top of the, but also tells us who the Melech in Yisrael is. And who's the Melech in Yisrael? Yerovam ben Yoash. There were two Yerovams who were the kings of Israel at different times. The first king of Israel was Yerovam. This is the second one. Where does Yerovam appear in the right side? He doesn't. Why doesn't he? Because he was right before Zechariah. So what do I know about this? Well, what I know about this is that Amos had to start in the earlier part of Uzziah's reign. Right? Because he had to be at the time that Uzziah went until the year 3167. It had to be before 3152, using the numbers. Based on that, we now can try to answer the question, who came first, Hoshea or Amos? Because if, again, Amos, the entirety of his Nevuah, it would seem, all happened not only in Uzziah, but also in Yerovam ben Yoash. So he had to be done as a Navi by the year 3152. Right? Which means he started earlier. He wrote an entire book in here. So that would indicate, in the event that Hoshea came before him, Hoshea would have started even before that, gone through the entire, go through the Uzziah years, the Yotam years, the Ahaz years, and then into the Chizkiyah years. So, unless we're going to take a very large reading of Hoshea, the knee-jerk reaction would be to say that what? That probably Amos came beforehand, which would make Amos actually, chronologically, putting Ovadia aside, as the first of the Nevi'ei Treyasar. However, if you look at the Yalkut Shimoni in Hoshea, he says, Devar Hashem Shehoya El Hoshea Ben Be'eri, Chazon Yeshaya Ben Amos, Divrei Amos Hoshea Ben Nokdim, Devar Hashem Hoshea El Micha Amorashasi. Starts by seeing the opening line of these four Nevi'im. They all overlapped. And if you don't know what's the order, it says the beginning is Hoshea. Then by Amos, it says it was 2 years before the earthquake. Right? Hoshea starts at the point of the earthquake. And then Devar Hashem, I show you Al Micha, Maram Shekulam Kidnu Al Micha. We will discuss the earthquake, but you see from here that the Yalkut puts a specific order of the four. He doesn't leave, unlike the Gemara, which says the four of them overlapped. The Medrash tells us in the Yalkut Shmoni that there is, in fact, not only overlap, but there's a very specific order. And that specific order is first Hoshea, then Amos, then Yeshaya, then Micha. So according to this opinion, you see that, in fact, Hosea came before the opinion, before the time of Amos. Why did we start with Micha? Because it was the Haftorah for that week. This was not a chronological, it just fell out that way. We had 12 to do, might as well do that one. So according to the Alkut, even though it would think that logically you would have put Amos after Hosea, it's clear that Amos goes before Hosea. What is the earthquake, you might ask? Rashi in Yeshaya number 4 explains, At some point later in his career, decides that he wants to bring the Ketores. Now the Ketores can only be brought by a Kohen. Uzziah is not a Kohen. And because of that, he gets leprosy. What happens at that point? If you remember going back, at that point, he's out the door and his son takes over. Right? The indication then is the earthquake was at the end of Uzziah. And therefore, 2 years before the earthquake is also towards the end. So again, that pushes Amos to later on, and that allows us to maybe say, okay, Hosea came beforehand. That being the case, this is the traditional approach. Modern day scholarship doesn't necessarily agree with that. If you look at the introduction to the Das Mikra, it says, "Biyomenu machzikim rov chokrei haMikra b'deya she'Amos kodem laHosea." The majority of the biblical scholars are of the opinion that, in fact, Amos came first. It's obvious. There's no reason to prove it. However, he says that's hard to accept as well because it's against the traditional sources. So the Das Mikra, in fact, goes for a middle opinion. And he says, I really can't tell you who came first, Hosea or Amos. Therefore, Maskana Ha'ola, Ha'ola Midvar Me'ela Hu'yefo, Amos Hosea, Hecholi Naverif Ne Yeshayu Micha. I can tell you that Hosea and Amos were the first two, but I can't tell you which order. Shneim Nivuz Man Ma Bime Yeravim, Zer Bitzad Zer. They were contemporaries of one another. Hosea, Hosivri Nove Gamma Acher Mos Yeravim. And I can tell you that Hosea kept on going after Amos was out of business. Alkapanim rohigia alreinu nevuah shel Amos hashayach bebirut tkufa ra'achir mos yiravim. V'em yedeinu roma tchilat nevasol shel mi kadma shel Hosea l'shel Amos o shel Amos l'shel Hosea. The bottom line is Das Mikra takes the approach of, I can't really tell you who came first. Who is the first of the Treyasar? I don't know. I could tell you that Hosea kept on going after the time of Amos, but I can't tell you if he started beforehand and went after, or he started after and went after. If you ask me, I tend to follow the traditional sources. The Yalkut Shimoni says clearly that Hosea comes before Amos. And even though the math works out better the other way, no. Okay, so that's regarding when. Right, we always have to start with a when. Next issue. What do we know about his father? What do we know about his family? Yes, Marcia.
Tekoa is where he was from?
Yes.
That's where those boys were killed
in the air. We'll get to Tekoa. There's actually two Tekoas in Israel.
Oh.
Actually,
isn't that
where those boys were killed? Right. The Tekoa you're talking to is not far from Hebron. Right, and and in Tanakh there is a Tekoa that's near Beis Lechem. Beis Lechem is translated to English as a little town called Beis Lechem. Right, so right. Oh, my, could be, you're right. So we know Bethlehem is where Kever Rachel is. It's not so far from Maras HaMachpelah. Same general area. Yeah, wouldn't walk it, but you know, they're both in the same West Bank. Tekoa is near Bethlehem, so therefore it's not far from Hebron, and that's how it wasn't far from, unfortunately, where the boys were from. Right? We will see that that's not the Tekoa we're talking about. It's a very good point you make, but it's not actually the one. The Gemara Megillah tells us something interesting. The Gemara Megillah talks about what is the relevance or the import of naming the father of a Navi. So the Gemara tells us in number 6, Amar Ula kol makom sheshmo v'shem aviv b'nevius. If you ever quote the person and his father when they introduce a Navi, b'yadua shehu Navi ben Navi. You know that he's a Navi and his father's a Navi. Shmo v'lo shem aviv. But if his name, and you don't mention the father's name, b'yadua shehu Navi v'lo ben Navi. Then you know it's just an indication that his father is not a Navi. Only he is a Navi. So what would that say about Amos' father? Not a Navi, right? He's not a prophet. He's the first one in the family to go into the prophecy business. The Medrash actually takes a different approach. So the Medrash begins by quoting Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Navi shenispare shmo v'nispare shem aviv, Navi uve Navi. V'chol Navi shenispare shmo v'lo nispare shem aviv, Hu Navi v'aviv eino Navi. So again, that's just like the Gemara said. The Gemara said in the name of Ula, this is the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Fine, but then the Gemara quotes an opinion that argues. Rabbi Elezer, b'shem Yossi ben Zimra, Maisi lo min Hodad, b'is Navi Zecharia bar Adua, Neviyei Shehoye Navi, ben Navi. The Rabban and Ami, b'en Shalom Nisparash, b'en Shalom Nisparash, Shemo Navi ben Navi. He says, in fact, they quote the Rabbanim that say, whenever you introduce a Navi, his father was a Navi, whether he gets mentioned or not. How do we know that? We actually know it from here. Shekein Amos Amar LaAmatzia. Amos says to another Navi, likely a false Navi, Amatzia, Lo Navi Anochi V'lo Ben Navi. Amos says, I am not a prophet, nor am I a son of a prophet. What's the one thing I know about Amos? He's a prophet. So what's he getting up and saying, I'm not a prophet and my father's not a prophet? He says, Ma ze Navi, v'hu omer lo Navi, just like he was actually a Navi and he was denying it. Right? He says, Af aviv, haya Navi, v'hu omer lo ben Navi anochi. So he said that the whole thing, when he made this statement, he was not telling the truth on either side of it. So we have here a disagreement. According to the Gemara and according to the first opinion in the Medrash, Amos' father was not a Navi. According to the second opinion, Amos' father was a Navi. Okay, that's another disagreement about Amos. What? The second opinion in the Medrash. That's the Rabbanan. It's actually the majority opinion. Now on to Tekoa. So the Radak comments, Asher hayad benoktim b'Tekoa, roe hayah v'aroe yikra nokade. He said that he was a shepherd. And therefore shepherds, right, people that deal in the animals, right, are called a nokade. Omishas asik b'mikna. Involved with cattle, right? Involved with cattle. Kumo umeshel melchov haya nokeid, v'nikra nokeid lefi sherov habehemos sheish lo kisamim shorim. Why you call it? What is a nikuda? Spot, right? What do we know about Jacob's sheep? The spotted speckled one. I remember one time I took the kids, do I remember this? We went to Rhinebeck to the sheep shearing festival. We're just living the life. And it happened to be a Chol Moed Sukkos. And at the sheep, and among the things they had to do, saying it was called Jacob's sheep. That in fact were spotted and speckled, just like it says biblically. So nikudim, right, is the word for speckled. So therefore, sheep are referred as Nikudim, named after this. So that's what it means, that then we're just talking about what business he is. So again, he says it's some sort of livestock. He said, he says maybe it means sheep, maybe it means mikna, which is cattle. Could be. Some of my best friend cows are spotted. So he says, "V'takoa ha'yir gadola benachas asher." And he says, "And where's Tekoa? Tekoa is in Asher." Now that's important because the Tekoa that was mentioned by Marsha, right, is next to Bethlehem. It's next to Hebron. What tribe is that? That is Yehuda. That is correct, right? It's in the more southern part of the country. Asher is in the more northern part of the country, right? So therefore, right, he's talking about that there is a second Tekoa and he's coming from the north. Now, it's important because the majority of the prophecy that he is giving, Amos, is to the Malcha Yisrael, the 10 tribes who are in the north. So it makes sense that he is from Tekoa in the north and not from the Tekoa in the south. The Gemara in Menachos actually refers to this, and it says that after David HaMelech finishes with the Avshalom incident, he goes into a depression. We'll get there eventually, right? And his people are trying to convince him this is wrong. You won the war. People put their lives on. If you're going to sit here mourning the guy who tried to kill you, you know, all your loyal servants will think, well, why did we do this? So what he does, in fact, is he, what? Right, the truth is this is actually before, and this is at the point, right, this is when he sends Avshalom away before he's back. So what they do is they hire a woman to put on an act to convince him that he should take Avshalom back. This is actually beforehand. So Yoav ben Tzruah does it. So it says, the Gemara tells us, Yishach Yoav Tekoa Vayikach Misham Isha Chachama. He went to Tekoa to get a wise woman. So the question is, why Tekoa? What do we know about Tekoa? So I'm a Rabbi Yochanan, Mitoch Shrei Gilim B'Shem and Zayas. We know that in Tekoa, they eat a lot of, they consume a lot of olive oil. So Chachm Mitzuyem, if you eat olive oil, it makes you smart. So Tanu Rabbanan, V'tovu B'Shem and Ragol, Zechokol Shal Asher, Shemoshel Shemen Kema'ayan. And we know that the tribe of Asher happened to have a place that had many olive trees. That was a major export. So therefore, that's the idea. So this is the Tekoa that he comes from. He comes from the Tekoa in the north. I don't know. It's pretty north. The interesting point, the Medrash said, why is his name Amos? And it says, because he stuttered. Compare him to Moshe. Amos stuttered. Moshe stuttered. What did Moshe do for a living? What? He was a shepherd. Moshe. Well, again, when he became a prophet. So, you know, we could begin to see some parallelism here, you know. What? It means to stutter. Amos Belashono, he had a hard time with his tongue. So another interesting point. Now, the opening is also just worth noting. We'll just make a quick comment on that. It doesn't say that. What was the first pasuk? It says, Divrei Amos. These are the words of Amos. Usually it says what? Right, that God told him the following. This sounds very original. But usually you expect the Navi to be someone who's just passing along a message. Right? Don't shoot the messenger type of thing. So the Medrash says actually three times in Tanakh we start that way. It says, Divrei Koheles ben David. Koheles starts this way. Right? So it says, Shosh Nevi'im Ayyadei Shehoyah Nevuasim Divrei Kanteirin Nitreis Nevuasim Ba'asma Ve'elohim Divrei Koheles Divrei Amos V'Divrei Yirmiyah. These three Nevi'im, which are particularly harsh Nevi'im, right? Yirmiyah, which was the Navi of the destruction of the first base on Migdash, right? Koheles, which is Hevel Havolim, Akol Hevel, what are you doing with your life? And Amos as well, since they're really harsh words, they don't want to try to say, listen, God told me to tell you, but, right? It says it this way to show they really stand by it. So listen, this is the message, and it is what it is. It's absolutely true. So therefore, you get an idea of what we're talking about in the Navi, right, based on these opening words. The number 12 we mentioned beforehand is just that the Medrash tells us that if a person wants to go into prophecy, shepherd's a good place to start. Who was the shepherd beforehand? Moshe. Anyone else? David, right? Moshe, David, Shaul's not necessarily Navi, but Moshe, David, and Amos, that's not a bad group to be part of. What? Right. I mean, the Avos in general and the Shvatim. But so there's what to be said with the pre-shepherd major. What I really wanted to focus on tonight is, believe it or not, perhaps the most important nugget of information that we get from the first pasuk is the fact that he was a shepherd / cattleman. Why in the world were we told that? Why is that relevant? You know, you never get up and say, and these are the words of Zephaniah, who happened to be an accountant. Yes. But you know, right? You know, I hear.
Also, it's kind of lonely. You know, it's a lonely outpost.
It gives you a lot of time to think.
You're by yourself a lot. You know, revelation can come to you.
Right. Whenever you're ready, God, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here all week. You've been a great crowd. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the Gemara Nedarim makes note of it in an odd way. Not the Jewish mothers would expect this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan kol Nevi'im Ashirim hayu. Prophets are wealthy. Minolan, how do I know that? Mi Moshe, mi Shmuel, mi Amos, mi Yonah. He says these people are very wealthy. And then the Gemara goes and lists off. How did Moshe become so wealthy? That's probably the one that people know. Correct. He got the leftovers. Not the broken luchos, but we know that the original tablets were made out of sapphire. Right? And he got all the cutouts, right? There was ended up being a wonderful sapphire mine right there in his tent, as fate would have it. And he got nice chunks and he made the luchos out of it. And everything else was his. So that's how he became wealthy. What about Amos? Amos here by Yan Amos Yomer Amatzia Ro Novi Anochi Ro Ben Novi Anochi Ki Boker Anochi O Boresh Kamim. He said, "What do you know?" I said, "What are you bothering me for? It's not like I'm a prophet. Oh, what I am? I'm a cattle guy. I work with the Bakar, and also I have some investments." So basically, he's saying there's an indication that he has money. Interesting, but still not wholly satisfying. The Rambam has a very important basic rule that really is very broad. And the Rambam discusses what does it take to become a Navi? So the Rambam says that there are basically three approaches that people have as to if I want to become a Navi, what would I do? So he says, we'll do this outside. He says, the first paragraph says, the people who deny that there is such a thing as prophecy, obviously we're not talking about them. There's nothing to talk about. He said, the first is a group, the Das HaRishon, the first group of people, who Das Hamon Abtan, most of the fools think this. Tell me if you agree. Right? Most fools like it. And some people, unfortunately, have learned some Torah also still believe this. Said the first approach is people say, listen, God randomly picks a person. The fact that I am a Navi doesn't make me a great person. It means be a very lucky person. God looked down and someone, he had to tell somebody, you over there, Mazel Tov, you're a Navi. The Rambam rejects that. Approach number two, he says, which is the approach of the philosophers, is that it's purely natural. Meaning that when a person works on themselves intellectually, they have the ability to raise themselves to a level where their understanding of God is so great that they have the ability to understand and to know what God's next move is. Right? I see this is happening in the world. These are the potential next steps in history. And therefore, based on what's happening here and what could happen here, I can figure out it's going to be that one. That is somewhat the approach of the famous Mishnah of Pinchas ben Yair, that is the basic source for the Mesilas Yesharim, where it says that there are levels, there are rungs. There's Chasidus, there's Nikias, there's Precious. And a person ascends the ladder, going from one to another to another, until you hit the point of Nevuah. Nevuah is just another rung on the ladder. And therefore, it is something that is 100% natural. God doesn't randomly pick people, but rather a person who works on themselves has the ability to raise themselves spiritually and intellectually to the point where they will converse on a certain level, probably a little less than that, but at least understand what is next, and therefore will be able to tell the future just by figuring it out. The Rambam rejects that as well, but rather the Rambam says, Hadeya Hashlishi, which is the last paragraph on the page, Udas Torasenu, that's the truth. And he says that in order to be a Navi, you need to prepare yourself. A person has to be intellectually on a level that will allow them to know what happens. However, the actual gift of Nevuah is chosen by God. Meaning that in order to be a potential Navi, you've got to work on it. Not everybody's a potential Navi. However, unlike other areas, if you study, you will get the knowledge. That is not true at Nevuah. I have to raise myself to a certain level, and then God can choose me. This is the Rambam's opinion in the Moreh Neruchim, a well-known opinion, and he's very clear about it. The Abarbanel challenges the Rambam based on this pasuk. The Abarbanel asks the question that we have asked. If you look at number 15, he says, Hashayla Rishana, the Rambam, the way the Abarbanel generally writes his commentaries, he lists off several questions. And then he gives Shir Kali that will answer all the questions. So he says, Asher Rishana, my Indian Omro Asher Huya bin Nukudi mi Tekoa. Why are you telling me he was in the cattle business in Tekoa? You don't see other Navim that they tell what he did for a living? Upal Yedeim. Ava Yestapik Bizakhirishmo. Ubapam Yehusu Shalavosav. Usually you get the name. Sometimes you get his father's name. Sometimes you don't. Ola Artso. Sometimes you get what city he's from. Sometimes you don't. Why in the world is the Navi going to tell us, by the way, you should know, in the cattle business, plastics. So he says as follows. He says, "Divrei Amos, etc." Kvar kasad b'akdama v'shiladasa meforshim Amos zal yemi b'nei Asher. He was from Asher. What do we know about the tribe of Asher? Not a lot. Were there many Nevi'im that came out of Asher? No. Kings? No. You know, Asher. Nice guys. That's what we know. Skip a line. Hine harav ha-morah. The Rambam says, Misifra shehitzchi l'daber, v'nivu also by yisod mosad shanavu, lo timtza b'shum tzad, lo tolkim odem ha-muchon l'kabola. Im b'achon ha-tviyiz kafi meze gufo. He said that, he says that in order for anyone to be a Navi, he has to be on a level where he can accept upon himself the Navua. The person has to work on himself. The person has to be great in his own right in order to potentially be a Navi. He said, what this pasuk comes to tell us is it's wrong. Going down to the end, four lines on the bottom after the three dots, V'chein ha'ya sha'amos ve'yosef b'nokdim ha'ya b'ir takoa, im'ayosef bilti meruba b'chachma. He was a regular guy. He was in the animal business. He was an usher, but somehow he became a Navi. Because of Atzmo, lo Navi Anochi, lo Ben Navi Anochi. We said, I'm not a Navi, I'm not the son of a Navi. But you are. What do you mean you're not a Navi? What is that even supposed to mean? He said, what? No, he says, I'm not the type of guy who should be a Navi. I never prepared myself for this. I myself didn't earn this. It's not that I come from a line of Nevi'im. I'm just a regular guy. I work with cattle. Koma roe bakar. I'm not an academic. Not even great at that. So the Abarbanel says this is the proof against the Rambam. He said the Rambam gets up and says anyone who believes that God just picks someone to be another is a fool. The Abarbanel says not only is he a fool, he's right. Because Amos was no great shakes. The Abarbanel said, that's why the Navi bothers telling us. Cattleman, that's what he did. And he gets up and says, listen, I don't know why they invited me to do this commercial. I don't know what I'm doing here.
So he didn't work on himself.
No. That's exactly the point. So the Abarbanel uses this pasuk to undermine the very basic rules that the Rambam says in explaining what it takes to be a Navi. The Malbim tries to make peace. So the Malbim quotes the opinion of the Abarbanel, and the Malbim quotes the opinion of the Rambam. And he explains that, you know what? You're both right. Right? Marsha, you know the story. One guy comes to a rabbi and he says, Rabbi, this guy's wrong, blah, 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 blah. And the rabbi says, you're right. Then the second guy says, but da, 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 da. Said, you're right. And the guy's wife says, but they can't both be right. Said, you're right also. Right? What? I would imagine as such. I don't know if I've ever heard it from him, but so the story is, the Rambam says as follows. There are times, there is, yes, in general, the Rambam is right. It is true that there is a process by which a person becomes an Avi. In the event that a person raises themselves to a certain intellectual, spiritual level, then it is a possibility that God will choose them. However, Shlomo, however, he's, I'll try to be done in 10%. What? What? I understand. They're going to lose their sheets. Yes. That's in general. That's what normally happens. Normally happens. A Navi is someone who prepares himself. But what happens when God has a message to send and there's nobody who's worthy of bringing the message? Well, someone's got to go. So he said, that's the story. Yes, he'll agree with the Abarbanel that Amos on his own was not a natural here. However, he said that even though Amos was not a natural, that doesn't mean that most Nevi'im aren't. So yeah, Navi's pointing out, it's true that, you know, this is not your run-of-the-mill Navi. This is a guy who just got picked. Right? However, so the Malbim says, that doesn't mean that the Rambam's wrong, though. It means that in general, it works the way the Rambam says, but if God needs an Avi from time to time, so this is the middle road answer of it. Now, I want to be clear here, this isn't something that is making light, shall we say, of Amos. Just to bring down two cases, giving us an idea of the level that he was on, right? The first one is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the Sukkah, tells us that at the end of the day, there are certain special people that are going to usher in the Messianic period. There's going to be Shivaroim. Shlomo, you know the song?
No.
The second shepherd. Correct. By Chaim David, of course. There are seven shepherds that are going to do it, and then there are eight princes. The Gemara says, who are the seven shepherds? So David's in the middle. Adam Shesu Mesu Shalach B'Yamino. Adam Harishon, together with his son Shes, who carried on, and then Methuselah. Avram Yaakov Moshe B'Smolo. And Avram, Yaakov, and Moshe to the left. That's a murderer's row. And who are the eight princes? So he says they are Yishai, Shaul, Shmuel, Amos, Zephaniah, Tzidkia, Mashiach, Eliyahu. So Amos, you know, there's a lot of people. We're not going to start going through a list of people that aren't on the list. There's some. If you think about it. Anyone see Shlomo? I know, right? Anybody see Yitzchak? Aaron? But Amos makes it. So, you know, whether Amos, however he got the job, he clearly did a very, very worthy job at it. I have no idea what it means. I don't know what shepherd is. I don't know what prince means. But clearly, if you look at the company that he's keeping, it's a pretty good thing. Similarly, had mentioned earlier that the Gemara tells us in Makos that Moshe gave us the 613 mitzvahs. Then we said, and David was able to lower it to 11, etc. Who was the last person on the list that was able to get all 613 mitzvahs into one? So in number 18, the Gemara tells us, Ba'amos v'amidah ma'ach Hashem ha'kor ma'ar Hashem v'beis Yisrael dir shunu v'chiyu. Right? Amos is able to put the entire Torah into, right? Search after God. If you spend your life searching for God, it'll all be good. So, Amos was a very, very successful, shall we say, in what he did. And, you know, whether you accept the opinion of the Abarbanel that he just happened to get picked, the bottom line is that didn't make him any less of a great prophet that he was. I give you a basic overview. It's worth noting that most of Amos's book is not pointed necessarily at B'nai Yisrael, but rather it's pointed at the other nations. Eventually, he goes and he rebukes both the 10 tribes and Yehuda. They both get different types of rebuke. Right, in terms of the Yehuda, the focus is more that they're not worshiping God the way they're supposed to, as opposed to when it comes to Yisrael, they in fact weren't being nice to one another. And that was the focus of that. There's an interesting story where about Amos and Amatzia. Amatzia, a false prophet, tries to get Amos killed. And Yerovam, even though he wasn't the greatest of kings, does not buy it. And even though Amos was giving prophecy against him, he did not kill him over it. And that's seen as a positive for Yerovam. If we had more time, we'd maybe discuss that. The very end, of course, is a positive end. He talks about Mashiach. Two Haftoris in Amos. The first is in Vayeshev. Vayeshev is the parsha about Yosef and the brothers. Right, there's a pasuk which talks about the type of sin that God cannot forgive. He says, "Ko amar Hashem al shlosha pishe Yisrael arba al shivenu al milchem bekesef tzadik ve'evim ba'avor na'alayim." The fact that a tzadik was sold and the money was used to buy shoes, we assume that is referring to the selling of Yosef. So that's why that is the haftorah there. Achrimos is a very difficult haftarah, but a short one. It's very harsh, at least the first half. Halo b'nei kushim atem li. That is, of course, also from Amos. That is the second one. So there you have it. With that, you can now begin to study the book. All right. Yes. So